March 17, 2021. It's the Waffle Pedro Show. Waffle Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. Started off fucking happy St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. You hear some laughing, right? I'm not totally man alone, people. Brother Matt is at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south because still in quite quarantino mode. But because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got Victor Negri all the way from Porto. Welcome aboard, Victor.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, and we got to right away give a big thank you, grazie, to Andrea in Berlin because he made the connect.
Yeah, thanks so much, Andrea, for that.
No, but it's, you know, the old days was about that, right? You didn't know unless some dude told you. Like, for example, the mixtapes, the cassettes that your buddies made. Shit you never heard, right? That's how it spread, you know, was about humans. Sort of like virus. But music. But music, you know, and creativity and not fucking disease. Okay, yeah. I should tell the people, we started off with John Coltrane doing Stardust. Mr. Paul Chambers on the bass there. And then Arubu Avua, which is, well, we'll get to that, but that's your kind of music, your moniker, name, music, showbiz name. Yeah, that's a better word. Showbiz name. With Circular Curare, mixing the languages there. That's great. Victor, your earliest musical memory, please.
My earliest musical memory. I remember, I mean, the memory that comes to me now is... I had this little keyboard, like, you know, the Casio keyboard, like this very tiny one.
Yeah, there was all kinds of them, but they completely made keyboards Econo. You know, before that, you don't know how expensive those motherfuckers were. Me and D. Boone didn't know anybody who played. Yeah, because I think it was a Univox thing that acted like a piano. It was $400, and that was the cheapest. And we're talking the early 70s. Uh-huh. So there was one in the pad where you were growing up.
Yeah, I had a very tiny one, and that I don't know if you know this one that had a demo button, and when you press it, it plays "Wake Me Up Before You Go Go" by Wham.
Well, that kind of dates it.
Yeah.
But it showed you what could be played on this thing, what it could do.
Yeah, exactly. So the memory is like I remember playing on it and improvising a bit, and you could play two notes at the same time. So I remember like playing these notes and thinking, "Wow, that's really beautiful," you know. Combining these sounds and things like that. Now, so that's the memory I have.
Where was this?
This was in my grandmother's house in Belo Horizonte in Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, besides that Casio, how did that Casio get there? Was it a gift?
Good question. I don't remember. Okay. It probably was a gift.
That's all right. It's a Watford Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. Okay. But was there other musical instruments in the pad?
There was the guitar that belonged to my mother, but my father could play a few songs. So I remember him playing like Obladi Oblada.
And, oh, yeah, Beatles.
Yeah. And I remember my uncle who was also there, and I remember him saying, "Oh no, Obladi Oblada is like the worst song by the Beatles."
Ain't the worst, but it probably ain't the best. Ain't no.
So I had that kind of knowledge back then.
It ain't fucking glass onion. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Especially on the lyric tip, but right, when them sing along. But you had music people in your family.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
Not professional, kind of amateur, but they still had music in their life.
Yeah, a bit. Okay. Not like musicians, but yeah.
Well,
there was some.
Well, it's like learning how to write. You might not going to write the next Ulysses, but you know how to write your name and your address, right? Right. You know what I'm saying? Some skills. What we say literate, right? So kind of musically literate. I'm just interested in the environment and what led you to where you are now with music. So can you remember the first record that you bought with your own money?
The image that came to me was the first record that I bought online, which maybe is a kind of a
pandemic. No, it's the same thing. Yeah, you know, that don't matter. But when you're a kid, money is hard to come by. So if you're going to spend it, right, you're going to make the big choice. So that's why.
This album that I remember that came through the mail was Californication. Red Hot Chili Pepper.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the first gig you went and saw?
first gig. I don't know if this counts as a gig, but there's a bandstand in my hometown, like in the central square, and there's a band that plays there like every weekend, and the audience is mainly elderly tourists, so they gather around the bandstand and like they dance around it and they kind of waltz. And the band that played there is like a very specific sound. They had like electric guitar and drums, but like really cheap equipment, and sounds a bit distorted and slightly out of tune. And they would play like these classics like Bossa Nova and Cha-Cha-Cha and Frank Sinatra and things like that.
Yeah.
So I would say that's probably the first, because
I would call that a gig too, because it's musicians playing live, and that's,
yeah,
you know, that's why I always ask these two questions. You know, what's the first record you buy with your own money, and what gig? Because this might have an effect.
Yeah.
What about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No. In the very beginning, I had like recorder lessons, like flute.
Yeah, it's kind of like a diatonic flute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember playing like in a little group, like an ensemble of recorders, but like that's the only thing I remember.
Well, the Casio, besides playing the fucking demo, did you start playing it, you know, trying to teach yourself how to play it?
Yeah, a bit. And it also had these pre-made rhythms, no? You had to press a button that says rock and it plays rock.
You could have rhythm accompaniment.
Yeah, exactly. So, and this rhythm accompaniment came already like with a bass line or something, like a little bit of chords in it, so I would play along with that.
Okay, in the guitar, did your pop show you any of the chords or stuff like that?
Not. I don't remember that. I don't think so. I learned guitar later.
Like what about like not after school, like graduate, but in the afternoon? Did you start playing with buddies from school, like a garage band, a basement band, a bedroom band?
Yeah. I had a few bands like as a teenager, but like playing like cover songs of you know, hits from MTV and things like that.
And what instrument?
By then, guitar already.
Okay, so you got a guitar, an electric guitar with an amp?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and you ain't writing your own songs. You're trying to copy stuff off records. Me and D. Boone did the same thing. It was the early 70s, but... no one in our town wrote their own songs. That didn't come until... I didn't learn about that till like, the punk movement. I met people starting to write songs right when they learned how to play, or they didn't even know how to play. I loved it. I loved that fucking idea.
Yeah, that's amazing.
How do you know if your friends ain't doing it? You know what I mean? It's a cultural thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So then did any of these bands do gigs, or did they just practice?
The first band did like one gig or two.
So that's your first gig?
Huh?
Was that the first time you did a gig? Yeah, you performed in front of people?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And what was it like? What was it like?
A bit terrifying. I mean,
yeah.
I remember being really kind of frozen and looking down. I did what I had to do, and I even played some solos. But,
okay.
I was kind of freezing.
You delivered the goods, we say. So, but in a way, the gig was a success. What was the response?
I think it was a success, but more like, you know, family and friends saying, hey, that was great, you know, patting on the back.
Yeah, right, a little support. Yeah, that's good, especially when you're starting and stuff. Yeah, I want to play Na Onda B6. Okay. I don't want to fuck up your language, I'm sorry. Thank you.
up. You swept me off my feet. You were so good. You were so kind to me. But now I guess you have grown tired. You cast aside my foolish heart. The games you played, the lies you chose to tell, you told them good, you told them oh so well. But now I guess you have grown tired. You cast aside my foolish heart. It's time I said when, but every now and then I meet someone and my heart says no, don't fall in love again. My mom and dad and all my relatives, they gather round. Oh, how they put you down. I know they're right, but what I give to kiss your lips, hold you close tonight. It's time I said when, but every now and then I need someone. My heart says no, don't fall in love again. It's time I said when, but every now and then I meet someone and my heart says no, don't fall in love again.
Thank you.
Waka Pedro show. Yeah, that show can music start up with Aruba Avua with Neonda B6. And then brand new from Kishibashi, Wait for Springtime. It's coming, people. I think it's on the 20th? 21st? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, coming up like in a week or less. Yes. And then the Hellbeans, brand new out of England, South London, Wasting the Godot. No, Wasting for Godot. Kind of a little pun rock with Mr. Beckett. He wrote a book called What? It's kind of interesting. Actually, it's a trip. Andy Kerr after that, Never Again. Barry Berkel Band with Stur. Mama's Prendon Beck's Real. Lonesome Blast from Hans Rotten of Switzerland. Hi-Fi Club, brand new, with Eugene Shadbourne. Collab, Wawa. Maybe a baby word for water. I don't know. And Network Glass Before Beat. Finally, No Fundo, No Fundo. Arubu, Avoa. So, you didn't really take much music classes at school. So, what about after you graduate high school? Do you go to music, like college for music?
No, I took, like, as a teenager, I took some lessons, like, keyboard and then guitar for a while. But then, like, after school, I studied media studies, like, more, like, cinema and TV and kind of that universe.
Yeah. Which has a very strong, well, not in the old days, of course, they were silent, but... Music became a big part of cinema, right? Incredible.
Yeah, for sure.
And in fact, some people, I think, they compose kind of cinematically. In fact, I would say that about some of your stuff. They are like kind of films, mind movies, or, you know, stuff like that. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you get out of like try to copy stuff off records on your guitar, right? And these lessons you took, they were from private teachers?
Yeah. Private teachers.
And when you look back, do you think that was valuable?
In a way, yes. But I remember more like, I don't know, I think because in the guitar classes I had, the first ones were nice. Like I had two different teachers. And in the beginning it was nice because she even like taught me to write songs, you know.
Yeah.
She said, let's try to write a song together. So that was really nice. And then later I changed the teacher and he was more like, I learned scales and learned like to improvise. But I don't know, I didn't really like jazz so much. But the way I was listening to it, but it was really focused on jazz.
Okay, that was the teacher's fault though, right?
I would say so, yeah.
I think there's a skill to teaching, you know. I don't think it's the act of teaching itself, but the cats, some people are better at it than other people.
Uh-huh.
Just like, you know, all kinds of work. Yeah, you know what I mean? There's skills to it, and especially to inspire people. You can't just tell them what to do. There's an art to inspiring people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I felt at the time, that like I had some chores, you know, I had to do this, I had to practice that. And I didn't really see the point, you know?
Yeah, right. It was more like, what they call it, drum stuff. Rudiments. Rudiments.
Rudiments, yeah. Yeah.
And there's a place for that, right? But if it's got no direction, you're just going to be spinning wheels, right? Yeah. So tell me about Aruba. Arubu.
Uh-huh. Arubu.
How'd this get happening?
This thing happened when... for a couple of years, I was into the idea of making, because I had been in a band for a while. We had made, we had recorded stuff, and then the band was over, and then I wanted to do a kind of a solo thing. And my imagination was only that you, like, there was this solo album that the person plays all the instruments, you know?
Yeah, like Prince or Stevie Wonder, Dave Grohl's first album.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was getting more into like more experimental stuff and electronics, and then I realized that, you know, what I had for equipment was this computer, this laptop and my guitar and so on. And I realized that a lot of people were using the computer to try to simulate other things, like pretend that you're in a studio or, like, you know?
Sure.
Use this simulation of a compressor of this from the 70s and things like that. And I wanted to do something that sounded like a computer in a, you know, with a cheap sound card and my cheap microphone. Yeah. And then at some point I realized that I couldn't finish anything because of, I didn't know how to do it with my own name. So I decided I had to make up a different name to do it. And then
by name, you mean like a persona?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like this name, Arubuavua,
like alter ego.
Like what?
Alter ego.
Alter ego. Yeah. And that made it super much, much easier. Then I could, like, pretend that I didn't even know if Arubuavua could be a person or a band, you know.
Sure.
And then it was so much easier.
You know, writers, right? Nom de plume. So, in the old days, ladies had to do this. Right. Yeah, ladies couldn't let other people know you were a woman. So you, mm-hmm. right? He wrote with men names. So,
yeah.
But that's because society all uptight and fucked up. But just personally, maybe having an alter ego, it makes it easier because that alter ego is kind of playing a character.
Yeah, that's true. And it's a lot like, I don't know who said that or wrote it, but I remember reading, like, you wear a mask so that you can say the truth.
Ah, yeah, good point.
That's very nice. On the surface, it looks like it's the opposite because you are covering something, but you're actually giving yourself an opportunity to be more open.
No, in fact, here, it's called, right, the when you vote in an election, secret ballot. Yeah, nobody has to know. And that way you can vote for who you really want to, right?
Uh-huh.
I think it's kind of the same concept. So the idea of this band, was it really to do gigs, or was it just to create music, to get past this roadblock that you had?
It was just to create music at the point. Then, like, after I released it and I began to get comments from people like, oh, you know, nice sound. I mean, I like your music. When are you playing? And then I was like, oh, I don't know, you know. Am I supposed to play? You know, I didn't even expect the question, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea how to do it. Like, what equipment should I use and things like that.
You mean be a one-man band? Or what about the idea of you getting other guys and putting together a band? It's just too much trouble, right?
Yeah, no, but I did it a few times. It was good. It's good because, like, you don't have to think about everything yourself. You can share the process.
You're talking ensemble.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But it started off as man alone. But your friends wanted to hear you do this in front of them. And not just hear it with you sitting next to them, but you playing it for them. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of good motivation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, because they're asking you, you know. Uh-huh. Look, I got to tell you, your music is, I love it. It's infectious, you know. And you know,
thank you so
at
much.
The end of the day, you don't really know how it's made, right? It's just stuff coming out of the speakers. So who knows if it's man alone? Who knows if it's a big ensemble, this whole fucking town plus one? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I begin to get a little anxious, you know, like, oh, man, I'm like they're going to find out that, you know, like this imposter syndrome, you know. Because I made this a lot of sounds coming out of the speakers, and then I come up with just the guitar. You know, how am I gonna do all that?
We have this movie, The Wizard of Oz, huh? And the guy, right? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. It's fucking him, right?
Yeah.
It's the wizard, right? It's the wizard. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 17, 2021. Happy St. Patty's Day. Lock Peter Show, special guest Victor Degby. Hold tight for hour two. March 17, 2021. It's the second hour of the Lock for Pedro Show.
came to my house when I wasn't there, just my wife and my baby son. With a knife from our kitchen, he cut them down, spilled their blood. See, my wife, she fought valiantly, but she lost to that man. As for my baby son, nobody knows. He was not found. Man was quickly caught, didn't try to hide what he had done. What he had done. When they brought him in, he had the knife and their blood on his skin. When they asked why he had done what he had done, he just laughed, said because he could. When they asked about my baby son, he just smiled and held his tongue. Just 10 years have passed, and they have said that that man, he can go free. 5 years apiece don't seem long enough to me. Every night I speak to my wife and son, and I ask, what should I do? Well, tonight they replied to me, and they said, you always knew. Man on the road into town, not sure what I'll do, but I know that that man can make it home. When he saw me there, he just smiled at me with crooked teeth, with crooked teeth. Well, the sky above turned a deep blood red, and I knew what I would do.
Truth.
and I'll make it clear when he got coming talking to me.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second out. Arubu Abua with Galaxia Trembojo. What? Pronounce it for the people, okay?
Yeah, Galaxia Trembojo.
Yeah, in the name of Trembojo. In the name of the proj.
Arubu Avua.
So I'm close, but I'm pretty far away, too. Sorry. I'll keep trying. Ben Salter after that with You Ain't Been Good to Me Yet. Hatchet Field, A Deep Blood Red. Claire Rockmore. Requibros. Requibros. Oh, shit. Now, she was one of the proteges of Mr. Thurman, right? John the Tiger. Ojos Secos Como Cuernos. Don the Tiger. He's going to be on the show soon. That's another Fratello Andrea connect. No Mercy after that with Ode to Francis Farmer. They were a great band. No Mercy was just a lady singer and a lady drummer. 70s punk. Yeah, U.S.
I don't know them.
Well, you know, U.S. punk in the 70s, right? We know Ramones. But actually, there was a lot of experimenting. There was Zev. There was Screamers. There was a lot of stuff with no guitar at all. It's hard when it's all gone. Finally, Abua with Os Enfericos Segundos.
Hystericos.
God damn, Hystericos.
Yeah, like spherical.
Fair, like iron. Segundos, second. Okay. Okay, so tell me about the first gig you did with Arubu Abua.
The first gig was mainly organized by this friend Lucas Rodriguez, and we put up a collective called Tudus that still exists today, and there was this event that had two gigs. One was me, like Arubu Avua, with him on guitar. And my other friend Gustavo Infante on another guitar. So we were a trio. And there was this other band called Denominadores Incomuns, which was a, how do I call it, an improvised noise punk thing. And yeah, that was the gig.
And two shows. Was it as scary as that gig you did when you were a kid?
No, not so much.
Okay.
No, at that time, I was more concerned with the gear, like with the MIDI controllers and all those cables, and I was wondering if everything was connected, but apart from that, it was okay.
Okay, so it was multimedia? Did you have visuals going on at the same time?
Actually, yeah, that concert, there was another friend called Fernando Gregorio, and he made some visuals. Usually, when I play, there's no visuals, but on that day, there was.
Yeah, because that can make you. I know about friends who've done that stuff, and that's like another burden or headache or whatever. You know what can go wrong with this shit too.
Yeah, more things that can go wrong. Yeah,
right. And you know me, my big worry is, hey, am I going to play this motherfucker right? You know, on top of all these other things, the technical and equipment stuff. I want to play this Sim Utambem Veo.
Okay. All right. See you at the main vision.
Sim, eu também vejo os espéricos segundos. A mim também.
Pick me up to watch me fall, and when I'm down, you like to watch me crawl. If this is love, then baby, take my share. I'm tired of this one-sided love affair. Have a combination for everything we do. Like let the phone ring three times before I talk to you. And if the window shades are halfway down, that means you don't want me to hang around. Someday I'll drive the shadows from my life, and when I'm done, I won't switch the light. But when you want my love, I won't be there. I'm tired of this one-sided love affair. Have a combination for everything we do. Like let the phone ring three times before I talk to you. And if the window shades are halfway down, that means you don't want me to hang around. Someday I'll drive the shadows from my life, and when I'm done, I will switch the light. But when you want my love, I won't be there. I'm tired of this one-sided love affair. Yes, I'm tired of this one-sided love affair. Yes, I'm tired of this one-sided love affair.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music, Rubu Avoa, Sim Utambam Dale. And then we had the other member of El Sonido de Manayo, Stefano Palia, he composed this piece, but and Enrico Gabrielli played the organ. It's called Essencio. Yeah, he just sent me mastered things for the third. So you know, Marinaio album.
And, oh, nice.
Really, you know, there's a new drummer man, Paolo Mangardi, and so. It's much, in some ways, much different, even though, you know, he's still, to this day, is still the Capitano, you know. The drummer man changes everything. It just does. And exit after that from Deep in the Woods, 66, out of Dublin. Exit, I've had enough. Of All I Can Take of This Day, Hail Satan. That's a title. Dex Rob Weber after that, Dex Rob Weber Duo. He used to have a band called Flat Duo Jets. And this was one of the first, especially in the movement, I saw bands playing without a bass, right? It's just a guitar and drums. This guy named Crow was on the drum and got to play with him. And he's a North Carolina guitar. His sister was a drummer. We lost her to cancer. Let's Act. Mm. Yeah, it's very sad. Anyway, a one-sided love affair. Then Gareth Sager from the pop group. And I call this a quartet, but it's just him on piano and a sax man. And miniature 03. And finally, Ben Nakriaka head Arafbo. Aruba. Sorry, man. You know.
In my defense, that's not Portuguese.
I know. Well, the head is probably English for sure. And then, Badenakayaka, it sounds maybe Slav, maybe Eastern.
It's Irish, actually.
It's Gaelic. Okay.
Gaelic.
Yeah, Gaelic.
It's a place in an island in Ireland.
Yeah. And that stuff, man, you know, you pronounce Sean, but it's spelled S-E-A-N.
W-G-Y.
Well, the whole idea where you take one alphabet and you make all these languages use the same alphabet. Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing where you don't have to learn other alphabets, but man, trying to get all those sounds in those 26 letters, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Siobhan, it's like spelled Sibby Holmes or something. Yeah, so
it takes a while to learn.
And it's interesting. It's not a bummer. So, you started making records, it seems like one a year, starting in 2015.
Uh-huh.
And
roughly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm playing the stuff I'm playing, because I went got everything that I could find by you. And what I did was I played a little bit of everything.
Okay.
And you could see a kind of evolution, you know, of how the... And for you, that's okay, right? It doesn't have to have a new name. It's still, it's kind of a, what did I say, evolution kind of group, Proj.
Uh-huh.
Endeavor. Yeah, I'm asking you.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think in the beginning I was even a bit more conscious about that, about being like all over the place. Like I did this this first album, Protocosmos, like that has like half songs and half more like instrumental lo-fi stuff.
Yeah.
And then the second one, this Naonji, is like half of it is just soundscapes with some noise on top. So I was a bit more conscious about that. Like I want to go all over the place and then see where I end up.
Yeah.
And I think I'm kind of end up making songs basically and with other stuff around it, but some instrumentals. But yeah, I think it's evolving.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a journey, right? Well, they all make up the big journey, but then there's, you know, like a river has tributaries and stuff.
That's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. We're at the end of the second hour, March 17, 2021, edition of Pedro Show. Special guest, Victor Negri. Hold tight for hour three.
Beginning, thinking about, like, Lou Reed and... Like he had Metal Machine Music, and then he had an album of songs, and then he had this album that's Tai Chi, drums, and things like that. So yeah, that's it.
And one where he's reading Edgar Allan Poe to bass. March 17, 2021, it's third hour of the Walt Pedro Show.
Trickin'.
Show. We start off the third hour with Logicos Rampantes, Aruba Abua. And then with John Wayne with Truckin'. Funny record, it's called Texas Funeral. Like half the songs have Texas in the name. I mean, and then Sonars, Aruba Abua. And this is the most recent stuff that you've done.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, actually, the most recent stuff, I'm about to release an album that's actually endless. It's a generative album that's really, really, I'm about to release that. But like for that material is from last year, so that's the newest.
Most recent. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have this new thing, but can you flow it to me? Because I want to hear it. And what do you mean by endless?
Yeah, it's an album that, like, every day there's a new version of it online. Like, it makes itself.
It remakes itself. And how's that happen? Do you have, like, stems, and then they remix or some shit?
There's some recorded vocals, verses from the songs, and they, like, change the order. And there's also some samples and some, like, algorithms and things that decide what instrument will play and how many instruments will play, all these kinds of things, and what effects are on the instruments. So all of these things change from one day to the next. And then there's a new album with a new artwork, and the track order is different. It's kind of...
So,
kind of megalomaniac, but...
Yeah. No. You know, if you're going to go for it, fucking go for it. I mean, but it's not an MP3. It's something that's dynamic. So it's a website?
It's a website, but, like, you can play the MP3s and you can download them if you want to.
Oh, so they become, like, kind of documents, the MP3s.
They are documents,
but
yeah.
As far as the piece, it gets being reborn or some shit, reassembled.
Yeah.
Reinterpreted. Exactly. Yeah. That's really, really interesting idea. What do you think? How'd you come up with that?
I've been studying in Berlin for these last 3 years, and the main thing that I was studying was this programming language called Super Collider. I don't know if you've heard of that. Write code to make sound.
Yeah.
But you can use it for other stuff too. I've been like making some effects to play guitar with. I've been learning these techniques and ideas, and I wanted to make a record with that and find a way to bring that into my music world, to be honest, because I'm not much in the composer world. I'm not from the electronic music world, but I still find that stuff interesting. So, like, how can I use that? So that's where it came from. I've been studying this programming thing for these past few years, and then I did that as a final project in my studies there.
So you're saying, in a way, it's got a component that's AI, artificial intelligence?
Yeah, maybe technically no. I always got confused in that thing, but it's more like algorithmic composition.
Yeah, okay, like fuzzy logic.
I think so, yeah. It's like John Cage stuff. Like, there is a lot of decisions that you can make for each note.
Sure, sure.
Only that these decisions are happening, like, many of them per second, you know. But it's,
That's something that machines can handle. It's kind of hard for us humans. You know, what I want to play now, I guess this is like kind of a, what do you call this, collection? Huh? What do you call a collection of stories?
Collection of stories?
Yeah. My memory is terrible. But this Imaginus Egostatus. No. Escotatus, I'm sorry. And from 2013 to 2017, it's like a collection of your sounds. And it's in two parts. I want to play that right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. What was meant to be a cassette, but man, who knows what future holds. But Imagines, Escotatus, 2013 to 2017, part one, Aruba, Abua. And then Durian Brow, this is part one of Zach and Ben. It's called Music Shaped Whole. And they want people just to copy this and burn their own CDs and shit. They don't want any physical shit out there being sold. I cut it into three parts so I can play it for the next three shows. But it's a really interesting improvised thing. Durian Brow is the name of the project. And then we had part two of Imagines Escotatus 2013 to 2017, Urubu Abua. Okay, so what's the name of this thing that's coming out soon?
It's called Memorabilia.
Memorabilia.
Yeah, and it's a play on memory, like human memory that's always new. No, we are always, like, when we remember something, we are always recreating it. And so I wanted to do this reference to the fact that the album it's like recreating itself every day.
Yeah.
And the tracks are also all concerned with, like, memory and stuff, and fragments of memory.
When we use memorabilia here, it's usually like a noun for things.
Yeah, yeah. I think
you're talking more. You're talking more about inside the mind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not physical things.
And I think it has also that meaning that you can collect.
Right.
The album, like if you download them every day, you can have a little collection of, fragments of stuff, and
Ephrema? Ephrema? Is that the word? Ephrema? Like pieces of past, yeah. But the actual pieces.
Ephemera,
yeah, that's the word. God damn, you could teach me English, Victor.
Oh, no.
No, really, no, your English is really fucking good. Much respect to you. Where can people find you on the internet?
So, I don't have my own website, but you can find me on Bandcamp, arubuavua.bandcamp.com. That's where you find my music.
Right, and I should spell it for you people, A-R-U-B-U-A-V-U-A.
Yeah.
Bandcamp.com. And there's a buttload of stuff there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you so much. That means a lot to me that you like it.
But this new thing, does it live at Bandcamp? No, where it's going to live on the web, right?
It has its own website, and I can say it right now, in like a world premiere,
sure.
Which is s4ntp.org/memorabilia.
Okay.
Maybe that's it.
I'm going to check it out as soon as we get to a fucking show. So this is a world premiere.
Yeah. Wow. World premiere right now.
Now. Do you have plans beyond? I know this is coming out right now, but you know how when you finish with something, ready to start on something else? Are you in that mode?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I will do, but I'm starting on I'm in the middle of a new collaboration with this friend called Matsuhei. And I want to go back to playing guitar, to be honest. I want to get out of the computer for a while because this project was so energy consuming, and it was just computer, so I want to go back to guitar somehow.
Analog.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, look,
no screens.
When you get some new guitar music, will you please come back on the show?
Yeah, I would love to.
Beautiful. Thanks so much. Huge honor to have you. Keep on keeping on, Victor.
Honor is all mine.
March 17, 2021 edition of the Waffle Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.